Now, when we hear the term fat cats, often people turn about all sorts of things and say, oh, you're referring to the bankers. No, 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 we're actually referring to felines, and indeed a very important aspect in terms of cats and weight and a variety of other things. And we're delighted now to be able to welcome Maggie Roberts from the Cats Protection Organisation, where she's Director of Veterinary Services. Maggie, it's wonderful to actually connect with your good self today. We've heard a great deal about obesity in pets, etc. This is another manifestation of this, isn't it, really?
Yes, it is. Obviously, there's been quite a lot of things in the press about dogs being overweight, but actually it is a significant problem in cats now. And the survey that we had done recently showed that about 23% of owners thought their cats were overweight. And that fits in with a lot of other surveys that show that between 25 and 30% of cats are actually overweight or obese. So it is a really significant proportion of them.
It's quite shocking. I mean, the other aspect is you know, we have in this sort of wonderful world an image of the Cheshire cat, a scenario,
yes.
And basically somebody who's actually said, oh, yeah, just work our way through that and so on.
Yeah.
Is this basically kind of we're almost feeding our cats to death through love? We're kind of overfeeding them? We're not giving them the exercise that they deserve? Or basically they're just thinking, oh, well, we'll just eat a bit more and take it from thence?
Yes. I mean, obviously people are doing it out of love and caring about their cats. They're not doing it deliberately, but it is killing them with kindness because cats suffer from the same sort of obesity-related diseases that humans do. And we are seeing increasing levels of things like diabetes, heart disease and arthritis. And obviously these can have really serious consequences for the cats. Really we have to think about decreasing the calories and increasing the exercise as well. I mean, obviously with cats it's a little bit more difficult with the exercise part of the equation. With dogs we can take them out for a bit more exercise. But we can still do sort of active play with our cats. Things like using fishing rod toys, you know, where you can actually sit there and we can be in our armchair, but moving the toy around to stimulate the cat's hunting behaviour and just get them moving a little bit more. And also you can buy what are called feeding balls that are sort of you know, plastic balls, but you can put bits of dry food in them. And so the cats have to move them around and then the food drops out. And that also mentally stimulates them as well, because obviously in the wild they'd be spending a lot of their time hunting. So by mimicking some of these things, we help them both physically and mentally.
I've always wanted to use the term in an interview, obligate carnivore.
Yes,
and
they are obligate carnivores.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One of those areas with respect to cats is obviously they do hunt. They are carnivores from
yes,
that point of view.
They are.
But just as I think it was very important a few years ago, there's a big campaign to say, don't feed your doggy any chocolate because it's not good, it could kill it. In the same way, milk, chocolate, Christmas pudding, if you've got any left over, etc., they're not good for cats either.
No, absolutely. And unfortunately, a lot of people were giving their cats human food over Christmas. And some of these foods really aren't appropriate, not just in terms of being high in calories, but chocolate is toxic to cats as well as being toxic to dogs. Cats are slightly more tolerant, but still it's not a good food to give them. And also raisins aren't very good for them. They can be toxic. So things like Christmas pudding is inappropriate. Mm. And also it does contain lots of carbohydrate. And as you said, cats are obligate carnivores. That means that they absolutely have to eat meat. You can't have a vegetarian cat. And they're not designed to cope with lots of carbohydrate.
Looking at the figures, recent survey from the PDSA, 1 in 4 of the feline population are overweight, around about 3 million cats from that point of view. Right, the Cats Protection also has to deal with the number of unwanted cats that are overweight and then need to shed pounds, etc. Is the solution literally education? Is it just a case of saying, doing interviews such as this, where we actually turn around and say, look, if you've got a cat, don't overfeed it. Basically make sure that it's at a reasonable level of fitness and care for your cat and don't feed it to death.
Yeah, absolutely. I think education is the key. But also, I mean, people can get help and support from their local veterinary practice. Many veterinary practices will do weight checks for free. Often the veterinary nurses will run weight clinics. And so if you are concerned, you know, you can get support from your surgery. They can weigh your pet. They can assess the body fat, because it's not just about weight, because obviously different cats have different frames and some breeds are big. bigger than others, but also about sort of checking how much fat is there as well. And they can also then give an ideal body weight and help you with advice. But it's important that we follow the feeding guides on the foods we're using as well. And it's very easy to overfeed with a lot of particularly the dry foods where they're very calorie dense. So weighing out food or measuring it out is very important as well.
Is this a peculiarly British or Western world scenario? I mean, I'm conscious that obviously you did voluntary work in Malawi after graduating from the University of Edinburgh's Faculty of Veterinary Medicine. I mean, is this something where people in other countries and in other lands and indeed in the developing world would turn around and say, this is insane, you know, overweight cats. What's going on there?
Well, certainly it is a predominantly Western problem. I think it's not just a British problem. There's a lot of fat American cats. And I think it's been seen in, you know, Australia. And now there's a growing a population of cat owners in Japan and in the Far East. And some of those get quite indulged as well. But, you know, if you do travel to other parts of the world, particularly where there are a lot of stray and feral cats, you know, if you go to areas of the southern Mediterranean and North Africa, not all those cats look in quite such good condition. But I mean, you know, for some of them, actually, you know, if they are on the slim side, that's actually better for their health than being a bit overweight. So I think we do have to be aware that we're not doing our cats any favours.
Absolutely. We started off by talking about the Cheshire Cat, of course. Don't forget Tom and Jerry. Tom was always reasonably svelte, I felt. You know?
Well, he was always doing lots of exercise.
Exactly.
Chasing after Jerry.
Precisely. So. It's the whole message that comes through from that point of view.
Absolutely.
Is there an online source? Does Cats Protection actually provide any particular area people can go to on the web to actually follow up on some of the things we've talked about in the piece today?
Yes, absolutely. We have our website, which is www.cats.org.uk, and there's loads of information on there about all sorts of different aspects of cat care, including some information about feeding your cat, but lots of other things about common feline diseases and feline behaviour, etc. So there's lots on there if people want to go to the website.
Also got to say, Maggie, delighted to see that Trevor, Ronnie and Frankie are all rescue cats, because sometimes we often feel it's quite nice to actually have that notion of sort of, you know, don't just sort of turn around and say you want to have a special bred cat and pure based form, etc. Go for the rescue cats as well, because they can have all sorts of positives as well.
Absolutely. I mean, working in the line that I work in, all the cats I've ever had have been acquired cats. So I obviously think rescue cats are best, and the moggies are best as well. I think you get fewer health problems. So.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. And of course, there is the classic line that the cats ultimately choose their owner. So it's a whole routine. I won't go into that kind of existential scenario.
Yes.
Maggie, it's been a delight just sharing some thoughts with your good self on the notion of how to care for your cat without making it overweight or flabby or all sorts of other bits and pieces. Two final questions for your good self. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the Midweek Drive this morning?
Yes, it's been lovely. I mean, I just love talking about cats. I could do it all day, so it's been great to talk about them.
Excellent. It certainly ties in with a lot of our rural features as well. So the next crucial question is, can we look forward to connecting with you again in the not-too-distant future?
Yes, I would be always more than happy to talk about any cat issues. No problem at all.
Maggie Roberts, Director of Veterinary Services at Cats Protection. Many thanks indeed. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you.